Hey everybody, welcome to Game Goose. Today is October 6th, 2020. This is Season 3, Episode 10. My name is Dan Curry. Hope you're all having a great day. Clinton, how are you doing over there?
Doing fine. I went to work today and there was not much going on. Sounds like Thursday is going to be our busy day, so we'll see.
Oh, nice, nice. I'm going to be busy tomorrow. Thursday, I got the day off for doctor's appointments, so that's fun.
Oh, we're all getting old. Isn't it fun?
Yeah. Neil, how are you doing over there?
I'm doing fine over here in New York, but I can't help but wish I were in hell. I've been playing Doom, gotcha. And it's all I want to do. I want to be back with my demon friends. Slaying and praying to various things. I'm doing fine. I just really want to talk about Doom.
All right. Well, I'll do it. I've played a little bit of Doom Eternal as well.
I can't. Yeah, I'm gonna save the full review for Dan to catch up because I'm so much farther than him now. Mm-hmm. But it is undoubtedly going well. I'll give it a 98% chance of getting my game of the year. I know it's a slow year for games. But holy shit, if you like shooters, it is a shooter, but it's more arcadey. It's more, you know, it's less realistic, obviously, than any other shooter on the market right now. And if you like the first one, the second one just takes it to 11. Or the first of the Rebirth, you know, when it went back to Doom. Doom Eternal is its successor in every way and better for it. And the first game's great. But I've been playing since I think it came on Game Pass the 1st of October. I maybe started playing it on the 2nd and I've just been hooked. It is fucking fantastic. I don't think I've been this into a single player campaign since, I don't know, I got sucked into a Far Cry or something. It's so much
fun. Whoa. What about like Dark Souls?
I'm thinking shooters. Yes, Dark
Souls. Okay, I was like, what do you mean? You've been playing single-player games and raving about them for the last year.
I'm thinking shooters. Gotcha. This is sucked in my attention, much like Dark Souls. It's just a fantastic game. It really hasn't upset me once. There's a lot of platforming elements that they've incorporated, wall climbing and double dashing in the air and stuff. And at first, when they were kind of teaching you, I was kind of put off by it. It's like, this doesn't really need to be in a Doom game. It felt clunky. But since then, they've added a lot to it. The puzzles, the jumping puzzles and platforming has gotten harder. It's their only way to really hide secrets, which are littered throughout all the maps. So I understand it, and it's actually getting. I've learned to tolerate it a lot more, but that's kind of my only ding. But I realize why it needs to be there. But yeah, holy shit, give it a try. It is so much fun. I'm also not one for. I don't like metal. I don't really like demonology and hellfire and, you know, Slayer and black t-shirts and what have you.
Black t-shirts.
You know, I'm thinking of like, you know, the black t-shirts with like skulls and everything gotcha. That Doom is kind of built. The pop culture Doom is built around it. I care nothing for, and all of it works so well in this game. I'm thinking like if I worked out, I might find the Doom soundtrack or something because I'm pumped right now. But no, it's a fantastic game. I think I'm 75% of the way done. I mean, it's probably only a 20-hour game.
I've played a little bit of it. The thing that stands out, I mean, I liked the first one a lot, and I was really excited to play this one. The thing that really stands out about it is like it looks great. It looks fantastic. The graphics are so cool, and like you're in hell. But like, what kind of like juxtaposed to that is the fact it's very arcadey. Like when you kill somebody, they like explode in ammo and health.
Yeah,
like so it's weird because it's like this really modern looking game, but it kind of has those old school, like if you kill someone they drop brightly colored icons that you pick up, but it still works.
They lean into it really well with a number of equipment things they give you. In the first game, I think, Dan, you pointed this out, but separately from the show, that the first game was fun, but when it got hard, you kind of got stuck in a trap of just walking backwards and shooting and hoped you killed the beast before it got to you. This game gives you a variety of new ways to... You can freeze beasts, you can set them on fire. Freezing them and shooting them will give you health drops. Setting them on fire and shooting them will give you armor drops. You had the chainsaw in the first game. If you kill someone with a chainsaw, you get ammo. So it's all these fun mechanics that you... It's almost resource management. Because you have to use every weapon. You don't have a lot of ammo. You've really got to use the whole weapon wheel, especially as far as I am in the game. And it's they don't make it taxing because getting those resources is so rewarding, whether you're chainsawing a small enemy for ammo or freezing them to get health or glory killing. When you stun a demon, they kind of light up and you get an instant, like, you're impervious while you go through this execution animation. They've added so many other ways to get what you need to stay alive and keep slaying, bro. And it just feels so smooth. And the other thing they do so well is make combat arenas. Like, it's not just you walk into a building and you know, there's enemies already there. That does happen. You have to get from A to B, but eventually you'll just walk into a square room. You'll see like jump towers and teleporters and resources scattered around. And you go like, okay, as soon as I cross this threshold, they're going to throw a shit ton of stuff at me. And sure enough, they do. And all of a sudden you're in this, you don't have to worry about exploring. You don't really need to know where to go. You know, you have a square arena and you need to kill everything in it and survive to get out of it. The verticality is great. You have a double jump and they have like monkey bar poles that let you swing from just to get extra height and stuff. There's so many things to customize to your play style. It's just really wild. I knew I was going to like it. I didn't know it was going to be as good as it is so far.
Nice.
I played the first one for probably like 3 levels and was just like, this isn't for me. I don't know. I always want to like stay back from the things I'm shooting, and I feel like that game does not let you do that. Like, you just can't.
No. Doom is fast and it's like in your face. Like, it's insane. Like, Courtney's kind of started to get into shooters. She liked like Wolfenstein. She likes Far Cry, stuff like that. And she tried Doom and she was kind of like Euclid, and she was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Like, she like, I can't keep up with it. Like, it's so fast and like there's no planning, and I'm like, oh no, there's no planning. Like, it's not like Far Cry where you sit on the edge of a base and go, all right, I'm gonna shoot this guy and then shoot that guy and then take out the alarm. It's like, no, you're like ripping demons in half with your hands. And yeah, it's crazy. Like, I the reason I haven't played more of it is I was just having like a real lazy Sunday, and I'm like, I'll play some Doom, and I was like, this is not going along with my lazy Sunday kind of thing. So I liked it, but I was not in the mood for it at the time, but I'm excited to play more.
Yeah, there's just so many. There are mechanics upon mechanics that make it fun, whether it be like weak points on enemies that make them less strong, or take away like their movement. It's just so good at teaching you what you need to do to fight each demon and then incorporating them into subsequent fights until all of a sudden you're fighting bosses that were really hard at one point. But since then, you know, like when to take care of them in the order, how to do it, and how to avoid them. And it's kicked my ass. I had like, it was at one point and I found one boss that I couldn't get through, and he took all of them. Like he killed me so many times. And then a level later, they threw him into a fight, and he was not a problem for me at all. Yes. They just do a really good job teaching you, and everything rolls pretty seamlessly into the next mechanic. And yeah, fantastic game. Other than that, we've all played games we'll talk about later. But other than that, it's the usual suspects, the Apex, but really that's it. We played some golf.
Well, we've gotten heavy into Risk of Rain too.
Risk of Rain, yep. Risk of Rain 2. Not as Risk well. Of Rain, number 2.
It was so good.
Try that again, Dan. You
cut out.
Risk of Rain 2 is... Uh-oh. Are we losing connection because you guys were...
No, we're
Dan.
Good.
Come on, dude.
For me.
Get it together.
We're good now? All right, yeah. Risk of Rain 2. I mean, I just have that bug. I'm just like on the Wikipedia all the time, like trying to figure out how to do all the challenges, like what is the best build. Like, I'm super into it. And then I like discovered, like, I thought Risk of Rain 2 was like a game that had been out for a year or two or something like that. And it has to some extent, but we don't even have version 1.0 on console yet. So like just being like, oh crap, like they just came to Steam like a month ago. So it's like, we're going to get this soon too. And that will renew like a new character and new stuff. And I'm like super into this game. So I've been trying to play, and I think I don't know. I mean, I'm sure people wouldn't like it, but there's just a lot of really great stuff. And the characters are different. So if you don't like shooting stuff, you can be a different person. There's characters that kind of aimbot. There's melee characters, and it's just fun to play. And there's no kind of like, it just kind of keeps getting harder and harder. It starts off pretty like low. There's not a lot of, I wouldn't say like, it's not like a shooter where you could be really bad at it or anything like that. I wouldn't turn anyone off. I think it's pretty accessible. And it's just kind of fun. You know, there's no like story you got to keep up with or.
I just hear like you that. Guys. Oh, crowbar. Oh, give it a crowbar.
Well, so Neil had, and that's another fun thing is like every character, there's all these characters and you have to unlock them. And the ways to unlock them are not always simple. Like we definitely had to look up the ways to unlock a lot of them. And then every character has a list of moves. However, they can be upgraded and or changed if you complete other challenges that unlock like more kits. So one of Neil's things was to get 12 crowbars is an item that you can get in the game. And we did it for like 2 days straight.
Oh my God.
He finally got it. We started playing with my buddy Trevor and he was like, oh, that crowbar thing, you got it like the first try.
It's all luck.
Yeah, so like I'm doing a pretty tough one right now where I have to kill a boss within 5 seconds of him spawning. So I've been looking online, and the easiest way to do it is to basically just keep restarting your game and playing the first three levels until you get the perfect amount of things. There's like a chest that has a really strong item in the third level, but the levels are random. So your third level is one of two levels. There's a time chest in that level that you have to get there in under 10 minutes to get the item, and then it has to be a specific boss that can be killed in one shot with that item. So it's just, you just want to play over and over until you're done and get it. But it's really fun. And the music is really good. And it's just, I don't know. It's one of those games where, I'm starting to go, I don't know, like Clinton. It's one of those games where it's not like graphically impressive. It's not anything where you're going to look at it and go, holy crap, look how far video games have come. It's just a game that's fun. Like they wanted to create a game that was cool and fun, and that's it. And really enjoy it. So I'm glad we gave it another shot.
Nice.
So, yeah, I think that's the weird thing with roguelikes in general is like the first couple times you play it, you're going to be like, I don't know about this. Yeah. Because you're going to be like, this is hard and I don't understand anything and I have no things to do. And it's like weird that roguelikes become more fun as you play them because more stuff opens up.
Yeah.
It's just a learning curve. The more you're on their Wikipedia or the more you just learn from the game, the deeper it sinks its hooks into you.
Yeah. Other than that, I just had two other things. I beat Titanfall 2. I think I talked about that last week. Great game. It's like $5 from time to time. If you like shooters, great campaign. There's some awesome set pieces. There are definitely some really memorable moments. Just super cool. And I played a little bit of that Mario 35 on the Switch. It's pretty crazy. So I played like two or three games. I definitely want to play more, especially because it's only limited till March, which is a very odd choice as well. But when you kill an enemy, so I don't know if anyone's played Tetris 99. Have you guys played Tetris 99?
Yeah, I did not like it.
Okay. I also got really into Tetris 99, but that's like when you complete rows, you'll put blocks onto other people's, like you target another player, and you will put more blocks on the bottom of their Tetris, so it's harder for them to finish. In this game, you target somebody, and when you kill an enemy in your Mario game, they appear in their Mario game. So they'll be you're playing through Super Mario Brothers, the original, and they'll be the regular. So in the beginning, there's like the two Goombas that walk by, and every time your person that's targeting you kills something, it ends up on your screen as like a ghost. It's kind of white. So the first time I died, there were like Goombas covering my entire screen. It's a really weird kind of way to play Mario Brothers, but it is hilarious just to see like tons of enemies. Like I'm dying. There's no way I can get past these. So it's kind of odd because I don't know if in the second level of Mario, there's like a warp portal that a lot of people know about. If you pass the first pipe through the ceiling, you can get down to that. So it's kind of weird because if you die, you're done. So you get farther in the world, and that makes it harder for you, but it's also harder enemies. So if you kill them, you can put them into people's like world 1-1 or like 1-3, and it kind of gets kind of wacky like that. So you can have like flying fish suddenly in like the dungeon levels and stuff. So it's pretty cool.
Is it always a random level, or does everyone...
I think there's two modes. One is like a random one, or you can pick a level. I haven't played it enough to really know. But that on the classic, you can start on 1-1 and just play through Mario if you want.
Huh.
So it's pretty cool idea. I don't know why it's only available until March 29th again, or whatever day it is, 31st, like Super Mario 3D All-Stars. But it's even worse than 3D All-Stars in a way. So if I buy 3D All-Stars today, I can have it for the rest of my life. I just can't purchase it after March 31st. Super Mario 35 is available for download right now, and then on the 31st, it's just gone. So,
huh?
I don't know why they're doing that.
Maybe they just don't want to keep up with it. They want it to be a one-time event, have fun with this, but we don't want to keep server space. We don't want people asking for updates. Just play it, and then it's gone. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an odd choice, but...
It's a very Nintendo choice, but I kind of understand it.
Because Tetris 99 is still going, you know, and
it's probably easier to work bugs out of Tetris 99 than, like, why doesn't this chain chomp go to this one correctly?
Yeah, like... true. That's true. But, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting take on, like, a Battle Royale kind of situation. So, but, yeah, other than that, we've just been playing a lot of Risk of Rain and Apex, so. What have you been playing, Clem?
I booted up No Man's Sky again to see what was in kind of some of the new stuff, and I haven't even explored anything. It's always like, I feel like, a 6-hour learning curve to get back into that game, kind of figure out what's going on again, and get back into the swing of like figuring out what I need to do to like just like relearning everything in it, because it's... I don't know. I don't feel like it's very like player friendly in its UI or any of that stuff. Especially if you've like played it before and you're not getting any of the tooltips or anything if you're coming back into it. But that's been interesting. I really haven't found any of the new stuff. No sandworms or anything. I haven't even got the like exo mech. Like there's like a big exosuit robot you can ride around in and do stuff on, and I haven't even found that yet. But it's fun. I mean, it's the same game I remember. Loading back into it, I was like remembering like the last thing I was doing, which was just like pimping out my spaceship. So I just have a really cool spaceship right now, which was fun to like come back to.
Those games are always hard when there's new content, because you're like, I want to get back into it. And you're like, oh no, now I got to find the new content. It's like, I can't just jump in and be like, sweet.
Here's the robot that I want to play with. Like, no, you have to like go here, buy these things. But to buy these things, you have to dig up nanites and like all this stuff. So it was like a 12-step process, and I'm on like step 3. And in the midst of like trying to figure out how to play again.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting. It's fun. They're the like, community, they have like community quests or whatever, where like the whole community comes together and tries to complete like XYZ as a group, like getting enough resources to do whatever. And those are always fun. Like you go to abandoned like buildings bust out the doors and like all the sentinels show up and they try to fight you or whatever while you're doing it. But I wish they would add more of the sentinels. There's only three types of sentinels. There's like the floaty little boxes, there's the dog ones, and then there's the really big like walking ones. And then there's the spaceship ones, but I never run into those really all that much because I don't leave planet when I'm getting chased by sentinels that often. But because I don't enjoy space combat at all. So, not in that game anyways. Elite Dangerous is great, but in that game it's just kind of whatever. But yeah, I don't know. It's fun. It's the same game still. I mean, it hasn't changed gameplay at all, but it's... I mean, they added a bunch of kind of like terrain generation, changed a lot of the habitats and the animals that spawn. And I guess there's like sandworms in it now, people are saying. So.
Yeah, I like games like that and Minecraft and stuff, but they just take up so much of your time to get to a point where like you get to experience it. And sometimes I get like overwhelmed. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to put that much into this just to see you know, the end game or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Other than that, I've been playing Minecraft. I've been playing a lot of Minecraft. Mm-hmm. I'm still monkeying around trying to build up the courage to go find the end and go fight the Ender Dragon. But I've played, I don't know, probably another 10 hours this week of it, just goofing around, building up, trying to build up a automatic farm for carrots and so I can get more villagers and things. It's interesting. That game has so much going on in it, and it's like, I don't know. There's just a lot. It's very like simple on the surface, but the more and more you go into it, there's just so much going on in it and so much you can do with it. It's really, I don't know. There's a lot of like depth to it that I never like expect. Even like I've been watching Minecraft videos for 3 years now. Like every week I spent hours watching Minecraft videos and there's always still things that I'm like, oh yeah, like that's crazy. I never would have thought you could do that, but It's fun. I enjoy it. And then I don't know if I talked about this last week or not. I started playing Genshin Impact.
I think you had just started it.
Okay. It draws very heavily from Breath of the Wild. It is a beautiful game. It looks like Breath of the Wild in a lot of ways, and the combat in it is like super fun. It's some of the funnest combat I've played in a game in a long time. It's better than Breath of the Wild's combat by far. Nice. So you have four characters on your like little squad that you roam around with, and you can switch between them. And each character has like an element that they are based around. So there's ice, water, fire, wind, rock and electro. So I think there's six. There might be one I'm missing. But each character has a element that they're a part of, and they have different skills that kind of apply that elemental debuff or effect onto enemies, and then they all interact with each other. So like I have one character, she's water based, so I can hit people, they make them wet, and then I can switch to my ice guy and then he'll freeze them in place. Or I can switch to my electro guy, and then anyone that's wet, electricity will jump between them, and it'll like shock everyone around them and stuff. It's a gachapon game, which is a like, so to get new characters, new weapons, and things like that, you either collect in-game currency, and you spend it on, in this game they're called wishes, and so you go into the menu or whatever and apply a wish to a set. Like there's like three different stacks of things you can do wishes in. One is I think just weapons, and then two of them right now are one's like a certain character and one is two other characters, and you have a chance of getting those characters. It's like super low chance, like under 1% chance that you get like the really high tier characters. And then there's like different star ratings of like different weapons are at different star ratings, different characters are at different star ratings, and the higher, like, so the 5-star is the highest. So if it's 5-star, you're gonna have less of a chance than 4-star, which is less of a chance than 3-star.
It's a free to play game, right?
Yes. Yeah. And so I haven't paid any money into it, but I've been pretty lucky. My buddy Cody, he's been playing as well, and his roles have not been nearly as good as mine. I have like 8 or 9 characters with some duplicates of characters, which when you get duplicates, they give you like a little vial that you can apply to your character that like gives them extra abilities.
Okay.
So it like makes them stronger when you get the same character over and over. It's not just like, oh, I got Amber again. I can put this little vial onto Amber and it unlocks this like very Skyrim-y constellation thing that upgrades her powers. So it makes her more powerful. So her elemental will do twice as much damage or whatever it is for each power. But yeah, it's super fun. It's a beautiful game. The story has been like way better than it should be for what the game is. Like the whole thing is just kind of like, why, like, how is this like, I don't know this. I mean, it's very like, I don't know. The story is good. It's not like amazing. It's not going to blow you away or anything, but it's interesting. It's fun. It's very kind of anime-y. Like there's a big monster. We have to figure out why big monster is mad, fix it. And then, oh, there's a shadow organization behind the big monster. Now we have to go fight the shadow organization kind of thing. But yeah, like I said, the combat in it is great. The like switching between characters and like the different elemental effects, it really adds like a depth of strategy to it. And like, all right, if I need like to do XYZ, and like, how do I, so there's like big guys with wooden shields, and I don't play with a fire character, which if I had a fire character, I could just shoot the, or hit the fire shield and it would burn the shield and he wouldn't have a shield anymore. So mine, I have to figure out how to get some sort of effect onto him so I can get past the shield without having the fire guy. So I usually just end up spraying them with the water mage and then freezing them and then getting behind them, just beating them up that way. But yeah, I don't know, it adds a like good layer of strategy to it, and the gameplay, like I said, is just, it's good, it's fun, and it's a beautiful game. I would definitely recommend it. Just grab it, pick it up. Don't, I mean, I've heard people playing it on mobile and I've heard it's not great. It's on mobile, it's on computer, and it's on PS4.
Yeah,
so if you can play it on, yeah, probably your PS4 or PC. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I've been really enjoying it. I've got a handful of hours into it, probably 10, 12 hours or so.
Yeah, I've heard good stuff, because like at first everyone's like, oh, this is kind of like a weird Breath of the Wild clone. And then stuff started coming out like, no, it's actually way more than that.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, and they like in their like thank yous or whatever, they like list a bunch of the games they draw inspiration from. And you can see where they get a lot of, like, you can tell they heavy-handedly just like, oh, we're gonna take this is ours, this is part of our game now. Like, but it's good, it's a lot of fun. The gacha aspect is interesting, because I've never played a gacha game before, so it's been like interesting to kind of go through it and see like how all of that stuff works. And I like, I'm not one that really pays money for games, like free-to-play games. I don't really play free-to-play games, and I understand why people get addicted to like buying loot boxes and stuff, especially when they have like gameplay elements. Like, I like find myself like, oh, like I'm out of wishes to get more characters. Like, well, I could just spend like XYZ dollars and like, oh, I could get 8 more wishes. And it's just like, nah, I see why people like get addicted to this stuff. Like the rush of like, oh, maybe I'll get like this legendary character this time, and like it will make, like, it'll change everything for me. The whole game will be completely different. I'll be able to, like, take on this thing that I've been struggling with or whatever. But yeah, it's fun. It's interesting.
Yeah, as a old Hearthstone player, who has spent a lot of money on it, I understand.
Yeah.
For sure. Cool. Moving on to our main topic is just kind of a continuation of what we've been playing. So, this week, we used the Xbox Game Pass Surprise Me button.
You cut out Dan.
Oh, there goes Dan.
And we all played the game that it
you cut out so bad you even hear us telling
I'm back
out.
Now. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're here.
No, I hear it now. You're just come slow. So I started looking for a new computer today. So I don't know when that'll happen, but sometime in the next couple months, probably. So we all pressed the Surprise Me game button. We all heard that part.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So Neil, what Surprise Me game did you get?
I got a game called The Gardens Between, developed by the Voxel Agent. Hold on, I had it right here. The Gardens Between by the Voxel Agents. Yes, it's an Australian indie developer. And it's, I played about 3 hours of it. Definitely get the gist. It's not a long game, very indie, very, it's an adventure story or an adventure puzzle, I guess, kind of story game. There's no dialogue. There's no subtitles. There's no reading. It's all very experiential. Essentially you are two kids up in a, it's the game starts with you up in your treehouse, in between two houses, and you're in a metropolitan area. It's a rainy day. The game is very beautiful. I wouldn't say it's not cel shaded, but it has a very cartoony, but yet polished kind of pastel-y color scheme to it. It's very dreamlike, and for good reason. You start. It's abstract. A ball of light shows up and it starts taking you through all these constellations, the constellations that kind of they boil down to kind of vague ideas of what appear to be your memories. And you end up on these islands, all of them kind of themed around whatever constellation brought you down there. The first one, if I remember correctly, is kind of it's a lot of cardboard boxes, and it's kind of like a move-in day. And you move these two characters around this. All these islands are kind of cone-shaped, and they get taller and taller. And there's all these very large parts of your memory, like a TV might be 3 times your size. And you move these characters backwards and forwards throughout time, which is kind of interesting. So essentially you just have an interact button, and then you can move left and right. You do not control which character you are moving. You do not control where they go. They're on a set path. And they both move at the same time. Sometimes they follow the same path. Sometimes they diverge. And, the whole point of each level is to get your characters with this white ball of light to the top of the island, to put it in this like pedestal, and then you get to move to the next island. And through that, they do some pretty interesting puzzle, kind of lateral thinking type of things. There's a boy and a girl. I forget their names. The girl has this little lantern that holds the ball of light. And she can place it on things to interact with the world around her, whether that be making light bridges, or the light can take away like these clouds. She can walk through the clouds and disperse them, meaning that if the boy is behind her, he can follow as well. The boy can interact with objects that that reverse without you moving left or right, which rewinds everything that may have happened in the level. A lot of times there are these bouncy boxes that can hold your lantern that bounce around the level, but they only move when you move. So a lot of the time it's catching them where they need to be and dropping it there. They may have three or four points throughout your path, but you need to figure out which one leads them to the place you need to like catch up with them to grab it again, or for that thing to interact with whatever object you may need it to interact with. It's all very interesting. I feel like you could play it on a phone. I think it's only for computer, Switch, Xbox, and PlayStation. It's if you don't have it on Game Pass, it's $20. I wouldn't pay $20 for it. Partly because I know I'm halfway through it and I really haven't played that much. But they do a lot of really interesting things. Notably, I got a little stuck on a level where I couldn't figure out. I kept walking my people as far as they could go in time to the right. And the boy kept walking past a giant TV remote next to a VCR. I thought, that's weird. He always presses it, and it makes a noise, but nothing really happens. Until eventually I rewound back to that spot, and he pressed it, and I kept it there. And then the tape kept rewinding and rewinding, and the VCR popped out of tape, which, like, it hit like a broomstick, which fell over and knocked a piece of wood down, and all of a sudden I had a bridge. So there's been some really interesting puzzles. Unfortunately, that's not who I am as a gamer. I need it to be a little deeper than that. I need something around a puzzle. I can already tell it's telling a beautiful story about, I think one of these kids is about to move. I read an interview. I know one of these kids is about to move. And it's the theme of the game is kind of remembering childhood friends. And while you as an adult may have moved on and have totally real friends, and your child, they're not totally real, totally different friends, your childhood friend may not be somebody you think of as, like, you wouldn't call them your best friend anymore. And you were probably only best friends via proximity and childhood interests. But it's a lot about how important those memories are, and kind of how in rewinding time and things happening differently every time, it's these two kids hashing out, like, oh, remember when this happened? No, this is what happened. No, this is how we did it. And through all these back and forth, you get to the top of the mountain, and then you fill in this constellation, and all these lights are like, it's a treehouse. You are remembering when you built this treehouse you're sitting in. So it's really, the idea is really beautiful. The art is really beautiful. The music's great. And the puzzles are interesting. I have no qualms. It's a good game. It's just not the game. It's not a game I need to finish. It's novel and it's interesting, but I think it's kind of shallow.
Gotcha.
It's definitely a $10 puzzle game.
My game sounds completely the opposite of yours.
Okay.
My game.
That was The Gardens Between.
Right. Okay. My game is called Double Kick Heroes, and it is a rhythm game about the zombie apocalypse. And the gameplay is very simple, and the story is very simple. it is not beautiful. You are a metal band in the zombie apocalypse. Every level consists of you being in your car, which you have hooked up guns to your double kick drum.
And you're a drummer. You're a drummer on the back of this, like, platform, right?
Yes. So metal music plays as you're driving away from zombies. It's rock band guitar style or Guitar Hero style, coming from the right to the left. You have a little box. When a note hits that box, you press A if you want to shoot the one on the bottom, and you press B if you want to shoot the one on the top. And it doesn't matter which one you press, as long as you press one of them. It's more just to keep the zombies at bay, and that's the game.
Really? Do they incorporate any other buttons? No triggers? No.
No, I played for a while, and that's it. It's pretty boring. At one point, I thought, I wonder if I can get out my drum kit from Rock Band and set it up and play it that way. I realized that would just be boring and annoy my wife, because I would just be pressing two buttons. I think in the later levels, you have to actually steer the car, or on the harder difficulties. But I, just from the way the game was, I could tell the game was, like, really easy on medium. You would have to have, like, no rhythm at all. Like, I was just like 99% like all of these, and the like notes I missed, I felt like I was like, I don't know if this game is like picking up everything, because it's like literally like on the beat, some of the early stuff. It had metal in it, so it had some interesting like triplet stuff and things like that, but still, there's so many notes in metal, you can still miss a lot and still get like a 98 or a 99%. the story was awful. So I'm playing the story. I'm like, this is bad. Because in between levels, like, so they're trying to do, like, parody of metal. So, like, you meet someone called, like, Marilyn Manson. And it's just, like, Marilyn Manson. And you meet someone who's the guy who plays Machete. Daniel Trejo. You meet, like, a guy who looks like him. The thing is, in between those levels, which are fine, they're just really boring. When you have something like Rock Band or Guitar Hero that you could play that's, like, has better music, first of all, because not only is it metal music, it's metal music made for the game. So it's not like it's like famous metal bands.
Is it like from the world? Because the song they use in the trailer is like, it's like Korean or some sort of.
Yeah, I don't know about that, because like none of it was like Korean. Like, okay. That trailer is so weird. I was like, oh, it's like a game from like Korea, and there's a Korean metal. That might be interesting. That's not the case at all.
Okay.
The story was so bad, because in between these levels, you will go to places, and like, so I went and we met Marilyn Manson, and he started talking and blah, 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 blah. And then you're sitting in his garage, and you can talk to all the characters if you want. I'm like, I have no interest. These characters are awful. So you have the whole band, and they are just like, none of them are interesting.
Just
and all
characters.
Of them are, yeah, like, what, that guy always eating over here. Like, it's like that kind of stuff. And like, this guy's an idiot, and this guy knows how to fix radios. Like, there's like no, it's just awful. It's so
bad. It's an island. It's a metal band of Animal Crossing villagers. This is the fit guy. This is the radio guy.
I don't know. Animal Crossing villagers have more personality.
Oh, like, no.
It's bad. So I'm like, okay, you can talk to these characters, but I have no use in talking to these characters. So I just like, I just want to play the next song. Like, let's get rolling. So I press B, and I'm like, why can't I play the next song? And I see in the corner, like, my goal was talk to Marilyn Manson. So I had to go back to the garage. Like, it's like this little map your car drives around. And just press A so I can get some stupid story. And yeah, so they kind of parody metal music. They kind of parody like The Walking Dead and stuff. Like, you go to the prison and all this kind of weird stuff. But it's just, in the end, it's just like this rhythm game. So I was like, the story sucks. I'm just going to switch to the arcade mode. And I found out in the arcade mode, you can only play the levels you've unlocked through the campaign. So I was like, God, this is so bad. There was a mode on there that it said, like, play some music from our friends. And it looks like actual metal bands have like lended some. I mean, they're not huge ones that I know of, but maybe some metalheads might really be into. Had actually landed some of their music, and you can play through that. But in a world like, you know, like, again, in a world where you can play Rock Band or Guitar Hero and have like all this different kinds of music and all this like different font, like kinds of things, it just felt really old school to be like press A and B in rhythm. Like, I feel like we're just so far past that.
You'd rather play like Tap Tap Revenge or whatever that phone game was.
Even like that kind of stuff has like more than just A and B. So,
can I ask you a question about controller layout? It seems like if I wanted to make things challenging, and I was only going to incorporate two buttons into my puzzles, I would try to put them on opposite sides of the controller. Maybe
even like doing the triggers would be a little more fun. I don't know.
Are you just using one hand to go back from A and B? Or are you like Mario Partying it where you're just lopsidedly holding half the controller?
So here's basically what was happening for me. Like I said, I didn't play a whole bunch of it. I probably played it for like an hour. The songs were basically like the early songs. It's like you can just be like A, B, A, B. And then later on, it started to do like, like it would be like triplets, and then like da 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 da, like that would be like the fastest it would be. And again, you don't need to alternate every time. So if it started to get fast, like it would be groupings of like four notes. It'd be like da 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 da, you know, four or five notes. And so I would just be like, oh, I'm gonna do this group with A and this group with B, and then this group with A and this group with B. And that was like the only real strategy to it. Again, I do think in the harder levels, you need to move your vehicle up and down.
Because what you haven't explained is that there are zombies chasing your car, and you need to hit A or B to fire up or down to clear the zombies away from your car.
Yep.
Yes.
That's okay. It. The story's so bad. I was really confused. The first cutscene is all of them like being like, the zombies are coming, get the car, blah, 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 running. And one of the band members gets in the car and takes off. And they go, oh no, she left us. What are we going to do? Running, running, running. Cutscene ends, and then we're in the car. And I was like, what? Wait a minute. So they like got this whole like thing. I don't know. It, and it's also, looked it up, $20 on Steam. So I do not recommend it. Maybe if you're really into metal, you could check out this game. But even then, you know, get Guitar Hero or Rock Band. And just
or if you want a drumming one, buy like Taiko. Like the, yeah. There's like an actual, like, get a little drum and you play drumsticks on it. I think it's called, yeah, like, it's Taiko something. Some kind of Taiko drum world or something like that. It's a Japanese rhythm game, and it comes like with a little drum.
Is it 73?
That you can drum. How long were you in Dead Air there, Dan?
I have no idea. I just started talking, and I was like, because like you like said a sentence and you stopped talking. And so I started talking, and then suddenly it was like, oh, Clinton's still talking. Like, he came back in. So, yeah, it has a 73 on Metacritic on after 10 reviews. So
go review it. Go review bomb him, Dan.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I don't know. Like, some people give it way too much credit, I feel like.
So. I played... Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. So the premise of the game, I guess, is this girl is going to, so it's all Norse mythology based, under from my understanding. This girl is going to hell, where all the dead that didn't die in battle are, like people that died of old age and disease and all that stuff, get sent to hell. And she's going there to, I think, rescue a man, from the sounds of it. Like some guy who that she like,
her older guy, fiance, or
something. Yeah, okay. But she has the voices of a bunch of dead people talking to her. So it tells you like, hey, play this game. And we've talked about this game before on the podcast. Dan, I think, played it. But it tells you like, hey, play this game with headphones. And it is very, like, kind of directional, like, voices here, then here, whatever. And they're, like, shouting advice to you and, like, I don't know, saying mean things about you and doubting your judgment and, like, praising you for different things and stuff. It's very kind of, like, I don't know. There's a lot going on. Just so many voices shouting in your ears the whole time. But yeah, so I played it for probably 2 hours or so, and I personally was not a fan of it. I didn't like the combat. I didn't like the people yelling at me all the time. I liked some of the puzzles, so like you have to find runes kind of in the world, and that was fun. I enjoyed doing that. But yeah, so I played for probably 2 hours or so. I was, got through like first couple of gates and was like fighting the big antler-headed guys, and I don't know. I just didn't enjoy the combat at all. It's very much kind of like roll and dodge and block kind of combat, and with the people yelling at me.
You just described 3 of my favorite games in the last.
Oh, I know. I know.
yeah, but the combat is simple.
Yeah, it's very simple.
I see that as a strength. But yeah.
Spoiler alert for if you want to play Hellblade, which I definitely recommend. I'm super excited for the next one. I think when we talked about this, was a game like I was avoiding because I was like, it looks scary. And you know I'm not a fan of scary games. Did you think it was scary at all, Clint, or no?
No, I mean, it had kind of that edge of I don't know, like anticipation in it, but it didn't ever like...
It didn't tense. Have like jump scares or
anything, yeah. But it's more, yeah, it was more like people are fucking just like saying shit to you and like whispering in weird voices and like just like crazy noises and stuff, and it's just meant to make you feel paranoid and anxious.
Yeah.
And I was not in the mood for that at all. So,
spoiler alert, Senua, that it's not really the voice of the dead. She's like, schizophrenic. So I think, I don't know if you, do they say it right at the beginning, Neela, or is it at the end where they talk about
it? I mean, even if they don't say it in the beginning of the game, I mean, when you're booting up the game, it says, hey, this game tries to realistically portray schizophrenia. This is our mental health expert, blah, blah, blah. They're very upfront about it.
Yeah. And the bag you're carrying around has your lover's head in it. You're trying to resurrect him.
Yeah.
That's the spoiler.
Yeah. I mean, it says, though, like, when the other guy joins you, like, in the very beginning, it's like, oh, another dead has joined the voices in her head or whatever. So
gotcha.
That's kind of where I took that from.
Yeah. I'm excited for the next game, but I didn't think it would be one that you would like. It's not, for me, the story kind of kept me going because I wasn't wild about the combat. I thought it was all right. And I thought the puzzles were pretty cool. But overall, like, I really liked the art design and like the sounds, and I just kind of needed to see what happened.
The combat was, and I think it's maybe just a symptom of like the game they're trying to make, but it has no HUD. There's no tutorial. There's no like explanation of anything. It's very much just like, here you go. Go run around. Go figure out this story, and it's very linear, at least from my understanding of it.
There's some later levels on that are like more maze like but for the most part pretty linear.
So like the combat, I was like having to open the menu to figure out what the buttons did, and like, I don't know, the whole thing was just kind of like, it felt cumbersome to me. Like the combat didn't feel, I don't know, it didn't work the way I wanted it to, I guess how I would explain it. It didn't seem intuitive to me. And I enjoy, like, rolling, dodging, blocking games. Like, what's the Force Star Wars game that just came out recently? That one's very much in that wheelhouse.
I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, I don't know. But I enjoyed that game, and... yeah, I don't know. Just the kind of atmosphere of it, I wasn't vibing with, so I played a couple hours and I was like, yeah, I'm good on this.
It's definitely one of the most experiential games I've ever played. It really is quite a, it's a performance. You need to be down with it. So much of the game is asking for, it does a really good job asking for, like, a whole bunch of your senses, whether it be focusing on sometimes like in a sea of voices, the one sound cue you need to hear, or the runes, which I think you said you liked, Clinton, were one of my favorite parts of the game. I've never really seen it. I've never seen any system like it where you see a rune with a basic kind of shape, geometrical shape. And then you have to go back through, you know, various kind of places, maybe a burned village, and you have to find like what looks like a lowercase T with a slanted cross, and
I have seen that before, and I think another game did it way better. In The Witness, it's a puzzle game. It has a lot of puzzles like that, and I just think the Witness is built around puzzles like that, but I think it's executed better in that because you have to like find them and then like trace them out kind of in the moment there. But yeah, that one has very much kind of like landscape puzzles in that way, and which I think was well executed. But yeah, I mean, they do it well in Senua too. It's not like it's poorly done in Senua. I think The Witness it's in The Witness, and it's done very well in The Witness.
I think there's some really fun boss fights in Senua too. I really enjoyed that.
So one of my favorite boss fight of 2020 is that the beast.
That dog in the fog.
The dog in the fog.
Dog in the fog. Fog dog. It's also weird because like I feel like the game, while it can be intense, it's still kind of like a quiet intensity for the most part. And the trailer for the second one, like I'm like, man, if no one's played this first one, they think this game is like hype. Like, I don't know if you've seen the trailer, but it's all war drums, and Senua's like, ah! Like, and like, this is not this game. So I wonder what it might be.
Maybe she goes to war.
Yeah, the second one's like Assassin's Creed or something. I don't know. But the first one's very much like you walk through, you fight some stuff, you take your time on some puzzles. It's definitely not super warlike. So yeah.
It's very much like muted grays and browns kind of aesthetic again.
You get into some creepy stuff later, though.
Yeah.
That it's a little more like when as far, the farther you get into hell. The more there is to see. So, all right. Well, thank you guys for listening to us this week. I love that. By the way, just overall, I think that surprise me button's a really cool thing to have. They kind of hid it away. I don't know why. But you know,
do you remember when Netflix used to have that? And then they had the game show thing. Do you remember that? The game show. It was, I can't think of what it was called. It had some name. But you'd boot it up and be like, welcome to blah, 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 the only game show where we find out what you want to watch. And then it would ask you like three questions and it would give you some shit-ass movie that wasn't related to anything it asked you. Be like, here's 50 First Dates. Have fun. Like, what? I said I wanted a thriller.
I don't remember at all.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember what it was called. We used to do it all the time, Sam and Nikki.
Yeah, but I think it's...
Go ahead, Dan.
Watch something. I think it's just like a fun thing to be like, well, let's see what I get, you know. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's like what a lot of Game Pass is let's just dump a bunch of games in there. Like, they don't care. Like, it's a great way, you know. Yeah. You're already paying for it, they already have some quality stuff in there, they can put some not quality stuff in there too, so who cares? You might as well try it all out. So.
I did it on my computer too after I played Senua to see if I got anything good, and it popped up Final Fantasy VII, and I was like, nah, I'm not getting into this.
That's funny.
I got like three games in a row I had already played. It's like Halo. It's like, nah.
Yeah, that'd be a cop out. Like, I played Halo. It's pretty dope. It turns out I like it. So, all right. Well, thanks for watching this week. We will be back next week with another episode. If you enjoy our show and you are also a big fan of Dungeons and Dragons, you should check out the channel on Monday nights, every other Monday night. Clint, you tell
them
about it,
because I've lost kind track. We're in a weird flux right now with the election coming up. Our DM is a political hack, so he doesn't always have the time to self-described political hack. He doesn't always have the time to prep for us and stuff, because as I'm sure everyone knows, it's a very perilous time in the political world.
Wait, what's going on?
There's a large election that's coming up.
I missed it.
So yeah,
it's a medium sized election.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Guys, I'm really starting to regret voting for that one guy. JK, LOL.
But yeah, so it's kind of here and there. When we can do it, we do it at the moment. But hopefully we'll get back on schedule after November. And we'll see kind of where things end up falling, I guess. But yeah, at present, we're trying to get every other Monday in, but we've had to skip your few here and there. But yeah, we have a... That was a long explanation for a fucked up schedule. But
you want me to edit that?
but we play on Mondays. It's an actual play D&D podcast / Twitch stream. If you like good heroes fighting a world-ending evil, that's what we're doing. And it's a pretty interesting story.
Are you talking about the election,
so,
or are you talking about your show?
No, we're done with the election stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, come check it out. If you like D&D, maybe you'll like it. And I don't know. We have fun doing it, so hopefully you have fun watching. I mean, we're going to keep doing it whether you enjoy it or not. So.
No skin off our back. Watch or don't. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening, watching, whatever you do on YouTube, Twitch, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. List goes on and on and on. We'll see you next week. Anything you boys want to say before the end?
Vote. Are you registered to vote? Do you have a plan to get to the polls safely and with your friends? Are you going to wear a mask? Do your duty. It's fun. It's free. Go family.
You get a sticker.
You get a sticker. It's really important this year for a lot of people that are less fortunate than us. Get out there. Do it, please.
Do it. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week.